on SOFpodcast.com, iTunes, and on Square One Football Radio. This is The Sound of Football. Welcome to another episode of the Sound of Football podcast. With me, Graham Sibley, and joining me again are Terry Defenham and Jan Bilton. And as you can probably hear in the background, there's a little bit of Clive Tilsley because we're actually watching the last 20 minutes or so of the England-Switzerland qualifier. What timing that was. Drimmich has just shot on goal and it was cleared off the line. Oh, dear. Dramas. So there you go. Look,
he's a little slight to be wearing that Puma top, I think.
Drimmich?
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
He's a cracking player, Drimmich.
He is, but he's...
Who does he play for?
He plays for Bayer Leverkusen.
Ah.
He tore up the Bundesliga last season for Nuremberg, who were relegated. So he scored a barrel of goals for him, despite being relegated.
Did he spend like his last six months as a Leverkusen player?
As
the style in the Bundesliga?
No, it was done in the summer. The deal was done in the summer.
Ah, right.
Although it was widely expected that he would go, irrespective of whether Nuremberg were relegated. It was just a question of whom.
Man.
It was he went to Leverkusen. Now, he hasn't actually featured that much since he's arrived at Leverkusen, funnily enough. But
well, they've been doing pretty well without him.
They have been doing brilliantly without him, yeah. So they don't need him just yet. But it's nice to know you've got a guy like that, you know, on the bench.
Gives you an option. Well, this week, listeners, we're going to be dipping in and out of the qualifier here. We're going to be talking about Sepp because he's got himself back in the news again today.
Not the mushroom.
No.
Okay.
No. Sepp Blatter.
Right.
Yeah.
Not
yeah. It's the guy who runs FIFA.
Oh yeah. Oh him.
Yeah. And he's running for his fifth term as FIFA Supremo. But I think he's actually said that he's not going to stand for a sixth. I think the 78-year-old Sepp thinks that probably can step aside for younger, fresher blood.
How long is the term? Is it 4 years? Five years?
I think
it's kind of presidential.
He's the sort of person now that like Robert Mugabe's looking at and thinking, bloody hell, that guy's taking a piss, isn't he?
Robert Mugabe looks at him and goes, he's got it going on. That set
how come I get so much shit?
Yeah. I should have just joined FIFA.
When's it Mugabe's turn?
Yeah.
If Mugabe actually took over.
Do you know what? I think a lot of people would actually think,
it's not going to be any less corrupt, is it?
Yeah, it's just people being progressive, isn't it?
And now with added brutality.
what a strong leader.
As well as corruption and shiftiness.
Why not? Go for the full set.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You heard it here first. This is where it started.
Mugabe's ticket is added by because he's got a land mass as well, which FIFA have been after for decades.
FIFA, an official state of FIFA-dom.
Yeah.
Fiefdom.
A fiefdom. Yeah. It's Sepp Blatter's trouble. He's the ruler of his own fiefdom. Oh dear.
Yes. Well, but he's apparently his meal ticket in this very sort of like impossible to lose election for him is going to be the fact that he's proposing to bring in a challenge system of video refereeing.
Yep.
Yes. I suppose we can't sort of like pretend this was never going to happen, can we? Really, it's always been on the cards.
It's inevitable.
Yes, of course, because of as the people in the media are often telling us, everyone wants it.
Everyone wants it. Apart from the people who don't.
But what is it though? What's the content of this policy?
Well, as far as I know, from the moment, because obviously this is something that he's just cooked up, like skimpier kits for women footballers. He has said that that he wants to have a review system, sort of like a challenge system, if you will, like they do have in other sports,
in other crap sports.
Yes. Yeah. In other sports that need something to make them exciting.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. So tennis, rugby. Yes. We're not rugby union. They don't have a challenge system. But
they're
too rubbish even for a challenge system. NFL's got a challenge
system. I don't stand
by
that comment.
Yeah. No, well, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Anyway,
make it any less true, of course. But yes, other rubbish sports use video refereeing, presumably to wake people up from time to time and remind them that they're at a sporting event.
Yes.
And so that's.
I'm sensing. I don't know what it is, but I'm sensing that you're not really taking this idea seriously.
I've never been into video refereeing, and I've said on this pod before that I've never been into video refereeing, and that view is not going to change. Although I do accept and acknowledge that it is something that is going to happen.
Yeah.
And so see that goal line technology.
Thin end of the wedge.
You see, and they're pushing that wedge in now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Now they're going to have this ridiculous challenge system.
I haven't got a problem with a challenge system.
What the hell is Jonathan Pierce going to do?
However,
he's going to freak.
Sorry, yeah, you were saying.
Oh, the images are moving! What's going on?
Oh, we've already seen this!
It's
yes.
No, I haven't got a problem with it. I think the argument that we've gone back to several times when we've talked about any form of technology to aid the referee is that.
Hit the bar there! Hit the bar! I think I thought it was a time for goal line technology there to come in the game.
Yeah.
That
would have been pretty good.
That would have been very episode. Was it? Yes. The problem about it is
it's not the same at every level of the sport.
No, exactly. You can't have it, so you end up with a different game, don't you?
Yes, you do, yeah. and that's where it's a bit naughty.
Yeah, it's the analogy I've used quite a lot is at Wimbledon, where the challenge system's been there for a few years now. But it's not there on every court. Or at least it wasn't when it was first introduced.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
And it is ridiculous where you've got the challenge system being played on some courts, but not on others. And you said, well, you're obviously playing a different sport there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, conditions.
You've got different rules.
The conditions of the rules. I mean, you can understand if the conditions of the rules, say, for the Premier League are very different to the conditions of officiating, say, on Hackney Marshes or in non-league.
Yeah.
Because as long as I guess you've got uniformity of conditions, and it's not too bad. But when you've got Premier League, you're going to have all this technology in all these video cameras going off in every game in order to make it fair, presumably.
Yeah. And who manages the video cameras? This is the thing. Do you rely on the broadcaster to do it, or do you have your own independent video cameras all around the place? At which point, there's going to be quite a lot of video cameras around the place.
I mean, I would imagine it would be with the host broadcaster. I mean, in fairness, the Premier League, to an extent, probably make a contribution to the production anyway, in some way, shape, or form.
Hmm.
But you would imagine it would be in England's case, it would be Sky. In Germany's case, it would be a company called Sportcast. And I think it's Al Jazeera in France, in sport, it would be them, and in order to get, in a televised Super Sunday game where you've got cameras everywhere, then it would work for that, and then they would be able to have presumably all of the cameras available there. But what you then would have to then do in order to make it fair is you'd have to have all of those cameras then taken to, say, Crystal Palace versus Stoke, which is a 3 p.m. Saturday kickoff game, and have everything the same out there. Otherwise, it's not fair, is it?
No.
No.
So what are the other options?
Well, that's assuming that there's not some kind of technology out there that you can have quite small and inexpensive cameras around the place.
If you have a limited number, if you say, right, okay, so we can't afford to have all these cameras at every single game throughout the Premier League, let alone the Championship and the other and the rest of the leagues, but in the Premier League, we can't afford that. So what you do is you have specific cameras, and these are designated cameras that you can use for officiating.
I think that's probably that's what it'll be.
Yeah. But of course, all it takes is for one bad call, which the designated cameras pick up, but a non-designated extra camera there provided by the host broadcaster does pick up, and then the next thing
the whole thing
still doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, my concern with relying on the broadcaster is that that you know you could have vested interests there.
Oh yeah, well it's happened. It's happened in other sports. It's happened in rugby.
Really?
Yeah. And it's what well, it's been alleged that it's happened in rugby and cricket, where I think it was a South African broadcaster.
South African broadcaster didn't bring the snick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it went to it was a an edge.
Yeah. And they played it without sound.
And they played it without sound, so that the third umpire couldn't hear the snick, the audible snick of the ball.
Deliberately.
Pick coming. Yeah. Well, whether deliberately or not, they didn't. Yeah. They didn't. There is a strong argument to say that I mean, I still think that the video review for England's disallowed try in the 2007 World Cup.
Yeah, yeah. Where not all the angles were provided to, yes, to the to,
had
to
that
the
not taken place in South Africa.
Yeah,
against South Africa in the final, I think that there might have been a different outcome.
Yeah. Mm.
It's totally corruptible.
Yeah.
And I really don't get how they're doing it. But
if you put it in the hands of a
who do you want making the decisions? Do you want independent referees that who we might think, oh, you know, they might be a bit rubbish, but or do you want them to be paid by paid broadcasters who have a vested interest in the result? There's no two ways about it.
I think
irrespective, I mean, even if they don't have any respect a vested interest, they're not officials.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they're broadcasters. That's not their job. It's not their job to officiate on matches.
Well, you would think that would be the case. However, the amount of times that I watch the post match analysis on Sky, and they just go through every refereeing decision with a fine tooth comb and criticise a guy who saw it at real time speed with one camera angle, albeit it was in HD,
3D,
and the referees get ridiculed for it. So from their point of view, I mean, if I was a referee, I'd be going, well, yeah, I'll take that because I don't need to take this shit every weekend from supposed professional pundits who just rip apart everything I do when I'm running up and down the pitch.
I would say, Ian, that is where the only time the video technology is useful, though, is in post-match analysis, because this is what videos should be doing. They should be highlighting poor referees. If someone is consistently bad week in, week out,
that's different. That's different.
Those decisions are there and they're visible for everyone to see. Then of course you are. But then again, if you've got that video, those videos also show highlights where these guys do a cracking job 98% of the time. Mm.
They do, but that's not what sells.
Everyone wants
so you know you get Redknapp Jr. on there, and he just rips into the referee and says how terrible it was.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, I'd love to see him go out there in his nice suit and run around and try and referee the game and see him get it right 100% of the time.
I think,
or maybe he should just shut his face.
I think there's another thing as well about the fact that review systems as well, they won't stop bad decisions happening, because if you've used up your review and then there's a load of bad decisions, then
exactly.
Then you've got a system there that is just not being used anymore.
Well, then you need to decide what's the right number of reviews.
Yeah.
Do you have one or three?
I don't know. I mean, the more I talk about this idea, the more I just like.
We are filling a lot of gaps ourselves, though. We don't know what the full proposal is.
Yeah, it's this. It's just what it is. It's every worst idea you could possibly
or
have.
Or the other variation will be is that, you know, it's a referee that it doesn't know. You know, it's allowable for key decisions. So a penalty, a goal, an offside, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, in the referee's view, if it's a game-changing moment, then he or she will decide whether or not to call for a review.
Oh, if it's only one review a game, which I think is what they're proposing at the moment.
Hmm.
I mean, I can't imagine people would be using it before 20 minutes to go.
No, you
unless it's
be
for something like
a
professional foul or something like that.
Yeah,
or,
because I assume that what it is it's one review, but what it is actually is it's one failed review.
Yeah.
You can have one failed review.
Yeah.
So you can keep reviewing, and as long as you're successful, then
I see.
You know what I mean. And you'll keep being given another chance to review.
Mm.
It's only one failed review. Let's try and be positive.
Okay.
The review system may change and shift attitudes by supporters and probably more importantly by coaches as to what does and does not happen out on the pitch as a consequence. And a lot of their emotions and the way that they coach the game in real time will change over time, because they will learn the difference between what they think has happened and what actually happens. So when Alan Pardew jumps out of his box, demands
spilling his rum everywhere,
insisting that you know his guy's been pulled over in the box, and it's not happened at all. He ends up looking like a fool. He's wasted the review. And that maybe then in future that tempers his judgment going forward.
I think the clubs pay for their own cameras, and then they have a feed down to the manager, and he can go, well, I saw it on our cameras, and then where does it end?
They could totally do that
because I've got different angles and.
In other lesser sports, the coaches are elevated, and they have guys with cameras who are reviewing the game pretty much in real time, there and then, and feeding it back to the guys downstairs.
The coaches
calls there.
Cricket, always seem to be watching it via.
They seem to be watching on a laptop. I mean, the way that it's done in professional football is quite. It hasn't really changed down the years. I mean, that's quite a good thing. But
well,
it's funny how in some areas they're willing to be quite progressive, if that's the word I want to use, in terms of using video technology for officiating. But when it comes to match day coaching, they're quite conservative.
Mind you,
they don't use this stuff.
Terry, we've got coaches over here get criticised if they use a notepad.
they get accused of being studious and professorial.
Yeah.
is there any kind of ruling about the technology you can use?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Maybe there is. I don't see why.
Years ago, Sam Allardyce started wearing an earpiece, and there's a few other people that started doing that.
He had people whispering in his ear saying, "This is happening. That's happening."
And the chap who was a Hull manager.
Yeah,
he also Phil Brown. Yeah, he was famous for having, and he had a little headset.
Both of those individuals have been lampooned in the football media and in popular supporter media.
Yes,
there are other reasons, but one of the reasons is because there are other better reasons. But one of the lots of is perhaps because they're kind of going for this kind of hokey technology stuff. So, it's just funny. I mean, it is. I don't want to come across as sounding, conservative, small C conservative, or large C conservative for that matter. But I don't think that this is progress. I think that this is,
Review system.
The review system, I think it is an inexorable forcing of a disconnection between the elite game and the amateur and semi-professional game.
Yes.
And I think that that's a bad thing. And I don't want to sound, I'm sure that against modern football folk are agin it themselves, and I most definitely am on this.
You will get the fact that football without this system will be seen, especially by broadcasters, as second-class football. It's going to be the football as the football.
Yeah, I think that exists already.
Well,
yeah, I do think that exists already, and this is not necessarily what I think, but just to throw some opposition out there, because we all seem to agree on this
by
point. You could argue that professional football is a different game completely, and therefore it should have some kind of it should have the best methods at its disposal to settle disagreements, and, and I think that there'd be a lot of people that that love football, love the fact that it's simple in the way it's kind of managed and coached, as you said. But I think a lot of people would probably go, do you know what? I'd go for that. Most of them would be Chelsea fans, but because they always seem to feel aggrieved about everything. But there you go. It's not too much of a stretch to say that it is a separate game. I mean, you go and see Whiteleaf at the weekend; it's very entertaining. But the standard is completely different. There's a different level of pressure on the officials. Very little pressure, I would say, compared to having 50,000 people screaming at you.
I don't know.
Well, only when you're there screaming for a penalty. But if you take that as being as being fact, then there's no reason not to put it in there.
Well, I, on that basis, I concede that the disconnect argument is probably the weakest. I think the strongest argument is that I just don't think it'll necessarily solve anything.
The issue is, if you, I think, sorry, just to finish my point on the where the disconnect would happen, and I think that's quite key, because if it stops at the Premier League, then that's very bad. If it stops at
will it
I don't
get
know,
to the Premier League? I mean, will it just be internationals? Will it just be international?
Well, this is the thing, because
with a World Cup or
the higher up the chain that this finishes, if you like, then the worse it's going to be. Then you've got an absolute disconnect. Then you've got the tennis court situation, haven't you? But if it ends at I don't know, the conference or something like that, assuming you're going to invest all that money. You could kind of go, well, maybe that's a good point to cut it off.
Well, money is a good point that you raised there, because I mean, this stuff is not going to be cheap to set up, and presumably someone's going to have to pay for it. To a certain extent, you'd imagine that the broadcaster will pay for some of it. Some of it will already be there because they were going to use it anyway. Yeah. But otherwise, presumably, it's going to have to get passed on to it'll get passed on to supporters, won't it?
Well,
so
it'll
either get passed on to the paying supporters who are coming through the door, so they're paying probably a premium, and just a little bit of extra to cover the cost of it, or it's being paid for by the Sky subscribers. Now, a lot of people don't have a great deal of sympathy for Sky subscribers, but if you're a Sky subscriber and a Premier League season ticket holder, then you're probably playing twice for this stuff.
Yeah. And of course, if you're a maker of such technology, then the fact that your name's going to be plastered all over the ground would be a very good thing for you. I would imagine that we'd get chucked out the tender
That's just true. You might find a commercial partner who'd be willing to cover the cost so that they don't have to pass it on to the supporters. Yeah. You might be able to find that. And there's one more thing that I would like to add to this, is that I am of the firm belief that it's players that win football matches, not referees.
Yeah.
And I think that even if you've had some bad calls, you've got 90... These days, you've got 96 minutes, I would say, on average, to win a football match. And if you haven't been able to win a football match over 96 minutes, despite a couple of bad calls, then frankly, you know, you're the one at fault, ultimately. The team is the one at fault. They are ultimately responsible. So I think that this obsession with bad calls from referees, I think, is unhealthy. And detracts from the fact that really what should be happening is people should be just concentrating on playing football.
Well, yeah, this is my point when I was saying earlier about the post-match analysis, that there's, you know, it tends to be an assassination or beasting of the referee, rather than the fact that, you know, if the play had been a bit better, that wouldn't have happened.
Graham and I often get into baiting competitions with complete strangers in pubs over video technology, particularly rugby fans who were big advocates of it. And we did ask one guy, we said, look, can you think of a single game where the outcome of a game has changed, where a video decision, a bad call, suddenly becoming a good call, has affected the result of that particular match. Mm. And he paused long enough, frankly, for us to think that he probably couldn't off the top of his head. Now, he'd had a few beers, so that maybe he was just drunk, and he just literally couldn't remember anything. Probably didn't know where his car keys were. But I would suggest to you that maybe he's driving had them. Yeah, it was the Pearly Arms. I don't think he had a driver. I would suggest to you that over the course of a season, the team that wins the title is the best team in the league, and that the team that finishes bottom is the worst team in the league. Mm. And I don't think any amount of video cameras telling you whether or not a ball, you know, hit a guy's hand, or whether or not or a ball crossed the line, or whether or not a tackle was a foul, was a penalty or not, or whether it was inside or outside the area, is going to tell you any differently. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's going to change.
No, I think that's a fair point. And as well as that, football's one of the... All the other sports that we mentioned that have that use this, there's a lot of stopping in the sports.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. Football doesn't necessarily... I mean, apart from the throw-in and, you know, people throwing themselves on the floor and things like that. That aside... There's very little stoppage. It tends to be a very fast moving and flowing game.
Yeah.
And if you're going to stop that every time someone says, "Oh, that ball hit his hand," okay, let's stop it. And you know, just it breaks it all up, and it's just. And I think that would really. I think there's probably been a reason why this type of stuff's been held back for so long, because it would break up the play. Mm. And that's
and it's 2-0.
That's not going to be good for anyone.
2-0. Danny Welbeck gets his second goal in the fourth minute of injury time.
All right.
So that's the point sewn up for England.
Happiness.
Yes. I think what I'd add to the argument is the fact that there is this sort of lie about any rule change that it's going to make the game fairer and more just.
No,
and it's not fair. Not going to level the playing field at all, is it?
Football is one of the most unfair and unjust games.
All
there
this
is.
Stuff. If you add something like this in, is it really the ones who will benefit out of decisions? Are the ones who have already got all the benefit anyway. They're the stronger teams, the more attacking teams. They are the ones who already enjoy an advantage. And this will just give them even more.
The richer clubs with the better player, who can afford the better players, who create more instances, create more events within a football match.
Yeah.
And you get more events and you have more opportunities for video review.
Yeah.
You know, it's only going to help the richer clubs. Yeah. I completely agree with you. If anything, it will reduce the possibility of an underdog producing a result, because underdogs require a fair slice of luck.
Yes.
Yeah. Part of that luck is referees not spotting.
Some of those great. I can think back all those great performances where like big clubs have been beaten by the odd goal.
Mm.
And, you know, they go down in history as amazing performances.
Mm.
But when you think, if there was a video ref there, they would have probably called that back and they probably said that.
Crystal Palace would have been relegated if there had been video refereeing.
Yeah.
When David Hopkin deliberately handled the ball, only seconds later, Dougie Friedman scoring at Stockport back in 99.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you hadn't have done that, we wouldn't have won that game. We would have been relegated into the third tier. So video evidence can hang. Yeah.
No way.
Arsenal at Anfield in 89. That was an indirect free kick. Alan Smith did not hit it. He did not hit it. He put a bit of mud on his face. That's what he did.
Yeah. You know, I mean, are you really willing to see all of that disappear? Ask yourself.
Yeah. Do you want that to go? No, you don't. Okay.
You do.
I think the problems of football should we try and solve them with less regulation.
We should solve them by playing more football. That's what we need. We need more football and less hanging around watching television.
More replays. Yeah.
Television and football never really solved anything.
No, it didn't.
Never has. I've been here for 50 years now and it's not done a single bloody thing.
We all know what the solution to all this is.
What's that?
You just don't have referees.
There you go. And on that bombshell, I think we should wind up the conversation for this evening. But okay, if you want to rewind it a bit, and we can have a look at it, we can review it, and then we can anything we've said today.
We'll put us back on anything, and then we can review it.
Yeah, okay.
We'll be happy to say things differently. You know, feel that perhaps you should do. That's not a problem. We'd also, I think that we should encourage the listeners to get involved. This always gets listeners' standards up. So come on, listeners, let's hear from you on this.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we'd love to hear your hokum ideas about how it's a good idea.
Yeah,
come on, seriously, come and have a go.
Yeah. We'll even read some of them out in the next podcast and then poke holes in.
Yes, and don't be surprised if I put the clown music on in the background.
or hell sound effects. Yeah, we may portray you as the devil if you do write him.
But devil or a fool, who cares?
Don't let that stop you.
No, you'll love it, and you'll love hearing your name be read out on the podcast. People do, don't they? But anyway, from me, Graham Sidney, from Terry DePenna, and from Jan Bilton, it's goodbye.
Goodbye, Gates, England.
Good stuff.
Yeah. What? Do you not like him?
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Germany and Scotland are. They're both fantastic goats. Mm. I think this European qualification tour format is not going to be as bad as you think. I think that possibly some of the smaller nations now, because they know third can get them into a playoff, they might just try that a little bit harder. I think it's been Portugal losing to Albania last night. Albania, Portugal, but still, Albania.
That shouldn't be happening.
But it did. It did.
You join us again for another episode of Sound of Football Top Trumps. If you were here last time, you will remember that Terry held on to possession of the call. Oh, yes. He's come back from the brink of going out and now has the biggest pack. The biggest pack of the lot. You, the listeners, are down to 7 cards. And everything's looking a bit hairy. And Jan, the last time you won a hand, I think we were all wearing flares, weren't we?
That is hilarious.
It is, isn't it?
Can we get on with this shit?
I'd like to remind listeners that we're using the Top Trumps deck, the European Football Stars. And information is correct as of the 30th of March, 2012. Terry, do you have the call? Where you go?
There's only one call to make with this one. I have Wayne Rooney, England's Wayne Rooney, and I'm going to go with career goals of 220.
And yeah?
I've got Andreas Iniesta, 49.
Fine player, Andreas Iniesta.
Yeah. Well, I have a former teammate of Wayne Rooney, and also someone who got him sent off in a European Championship match.
The winker himself.
And as of the 30th of March 2012, he had career goals of 286.
Wow!
Listeners win.
It's all on the listeners. Don't forget to actually tweet the card for next week.
I will do. Don't worry. And I've got a dozy one of this. Right, join us again next time. There's more Sound of Football.
We had to make a listener up in every days.
Top Trumps.
I definitely did not make that listener up. Your Honour.